Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 5. Christmas, the season of miracles. We're going to spend a few weeks on this as we approach our Christmas time. And thank God that though we are well aware that Christmas and the birth of Jesus was not necessarily December 25th, we also thank God for the opportunity to be able to share the gospel and the good news of what he's done and who he is. And people are more open in this time of year. Miracles. Miracles happen every day. Anybody in this room ever received a miracle? Come on, let's see the show of hands. How many have received a miracle? God is good all the time, and he does things for us that we don't deserve. You know that. Come on, turn to each other and say, I've got good stuff from God that I don't deserve. That's called what?
Grace.
That's called grace. Most of the time, though, in order to receive a miracle, we have to cooperate with God and move toward that miracle. Now, that doesn't mean works to get it done. But it means we have to have a responsive heart to him and a responsive heart toward him. And then by faith, we get to receive the miracle. You know, in the old days, we've talked about it before, but the old days, the radio preachers used to have to what? They'd say at the end when they want to pray for you, they'd say, reach out and what? Remember? Touch the radio. Put your hand on the radio. There was an association of faith, something that quickens your heart. You're in evangelistic meetings. What do they ask you to do at the end of the Billy Graham Crusades? Come forward. You have to make some movement, demonstrate that you are understanding God is speaking to your heart and you want what he's got. And so, Lord, I want to reach out. I want to stretch out. I want to receive you. How many want to receive more from Jesus this morning? All right, so as you approach him, as you come into the house of God by faith, did you say to one another, come on, let's go to the house of God, because I'm ready to give and receive the fresh presence of Jesus. Isn't that what's in our hearts?
Yes.
Come on, I want to go to church. You want to go to church? You wake up bright and early and say, oh, praise God, it's Sunday, let's go to church. Come on, don't lie to me. But that is our heart. That's the attitude of our heart. I want to go see what he's doing. I want to be involved in what he's doing. Lord, move. And if I need healing in my body, heal me, Lord, today. And do a miracle for me today. And do a miracle for my family. Lord, I believe you are good and that you are God and that you are alive. Someone say amen. I want to talk for a minute about moving from a mat to a miracle. From a mat to a miracle. The power of the Lord is present. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26, shares with us how a man moves from a mat to a miracle. Now it happened on a certain day, beginning in verse 17, as he was teaching Jesus, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who would come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Say it with me, the next phrase. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Say that again. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. He says, when two or more are gathered in my name, what? There I am in the midst of them. Where Jesus is, there's healing, there's life, there's forgiveness, there's deliverance, there's anything that is needed where Jesus is. Don't you understand that?
Yes,
amen. And so we believe the power of the Lord is present to heal even this morning because two or more are gathered in his name. The power of the Lord, that Greek word is dunamis, dynamic power. Dynamite comes from the Greek word dunamis. And there is power, literally in the Greek it means to cure, to heal, to make them whole. And when we come to church on Sunday mornings, even if it's not always a physical healing, God is about the business of making us whole. Well, you can look at me all you want this morning and say, I'm perfect just as I am. Or you could be honest and say, no, 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 we all know the game's up. We all know we're here because we need Jesus, right?
Yeah.
So thank God he is in the ministry business. He knows you. He knows exactly who you are. And he knows exactly the need inside. So the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. So many times, church, we limit God. I can't get there. I can't do it. But God still knows how to help you right where you are. Someone say amen.
Amen.
He had friends who got him there beyond his own ability. Listen, sometimes we sit and we think, I can't get out of this. I can't change. I can't get free. It's over for me. I've lived too long in this way. I want you to know that Jesus is a Redeemer 24/7. No matter what day it is, Jesus is here to redeem, to strengthen, to heal, and to deliver. And He knows how to do beyond what you and I can do for ourselves. Someone say, thank God. So they bring him. A man who's paralyzed. I can't do anything. I'm paralyzed. They seek to bring him in. Lay him before them. God sees you. God knows you. The Bible says, if he is for you, who can be against you? That's Romans 8, verse 31. If he's for you, who can be against you? No one. Nothing. So we get in agreement with God. We line ourselves up with God, and we're in our best position to receive His miracle. Did you understand what I'm saying? You line up. You don't say, oh, that's just a bunch of works. No, God asks us to line up, get in alignment. If you want to turn your back on God, run away from Him, don't do anything with Him, and then demand He come through and heal you right when the moment is there, well, you might not receive that healing until you turn around. And look at what it says here. Well, let me ask you an illustration. I've flown on an airplane lately. I love flying on an airplane. It's getting a little more cramped than ever. Either that or I'm getting bigger. Probably both are true. But you know, you can't just climb on board and say, hey, we're all in, close the door, take off. Can you? No, just rolling over the hills, down in the gutters. And you can't do that. He's got to get permission. And then they back the plane out. And he or she, the pilot's got to get permission. And then they taxi over to the correct runway. And then once they're in the right direction on that runway, then they have to get more permission to be able to say, okay, you can take off now. Get out of here. So then he takes off once he's aligned or she's aligned the plane correctly. So when we get in right alignment with God, He says, take off, baby. I got you right in my hands. You're right where I want you. I know what I'm doing in your life. Can I ask you an honest question? Thank you. Thank you very much. The rest of you can go home. Jordan and I are going to talk for a while here this morning. Thank you for the permission. I feel like Joan Rivers. Can we talk? So, and what was I going to say? This is getting bad. Okay, let's go back to the notes. Back to the notes. A few late nights lately. What's that? Thank you. Being aligned with God. That's right. That is the main point. Anyway. So, once the go is given, once the green light is given, you can successfully take off. Oh, I know what I was going to ask. Thank you. Thank you for your patience with me. You just keep me in your prayers. How many know? Hurry up or I'll forget it. Oh, yeah. Can I ask you an honest question? I said that already, and George answered me. How about the rest of you? Want me to ask an answer? Do you have any areas of your life in which you know you need to get in better alignment with God? Do you wish I had forgotten it? Listen, when I stand here and teach and preach, please, I know, I'm confident you know, the Lord is working on me, and I ask that same painful question of me that I ask of you. Because we're here this morning saying, Lord, I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to be more like you. So are there areas of my life that I need to align better with you?
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, in the last several days, just, you don't need to know the specifics, But I've been seeking the Lord, saying, okay, Lord, how can I do a better alignment with you? And is there, were there some attitudes and something I did that were expressed incorrectly? And what can I do? How can I change? Because, Lord, it's not just I gave my life to Jesus 45 years ago or last week. I want to sound more like you, talk more like you, look more like you, hear more like you. I want my attitudes to be more like you. So, Jesus, then I can be more like you in this earth. Because we're surrounded by people who need to see the real deal. Aren't we, church? I don't want to... Part of the bad rap in the body of Christ for how many years has been, well, you know, I went to church, but then I saw that person outside of church. And they didn't live like anything they were talking about. That's different for us, right? We want to say, hopefully, consistency is the key. And we're going to keep growing. So if you see me do something outside of church, just walk up to me and say, hey! Now watch what you all do next week. Hey! All right. So you line yourself up. All right. Number two, let me point out another part of this scripture, because let's go on a few points from this one. And this is from a mat to a miracle. Number one, the power of the Lord is present. Number two, don't let your circumstances push you away. Don't let your circumstances push you away. Put your faith shoulder to the wheel. Watch, verse 18, 19. When they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, natural circumstances limited this man. They went up on a housetop, let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are what?
Forgiven
you. Notice, Jesus accepts this man. Other people have a beef with that, but not Jesus. Isn't that interesting? And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this? Who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So you have natural circumstances. Now you have theological circumstances. Well, my belief doesn't allow Jesus to heal today, don't you know? All that passed away with the Acts of the Apostles. That's not real. Jesus can't do that. And if you think you got touched in a meeting, it must have been crowd control. Some psychobabble that happened, and it's going to fade away. How many know Jesus is alive and well today, church? He's alive and well today, and he can do beyond theological and natural circumstances. Jesus isn't limited by wrong theology. He might not be able to do it for the person who is denying the moving of the Spirit. And sometimes, aren't you glad he does way beyond what we limit him in? He moves in anyway, and he says, just want to blow your speakers. Just want to do more for you than you think I can do. Because all of a sudden, then our hearts get bigger and our understanding increases. Open the door of your heart. Don't shut it down. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Notice, healing is associated with what? Forgiveness. That's important. You don't forgive. You don't get forgiven. That healing might be delayed. Now, when sometimes we don't instantly get healed, that is not a sense of condemnation. I always ask the Lord, are you trying to show me something? But if the Lord doesn't show me something by conviction, I don't walk around condemned. We just keep walking step by step, faith by faith. But sometimes a limiting factor can be lack of forgiveness in our lives. We don't forgive somebody and we know it. Or we don't reach out or whatever it might be. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house immediately. He rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, departed to his own house, glorifying God. They were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." If you want to walk freely, forgive and release. Come on, say that with me. Forgive and release. Forgive and release. If you want to walk freely, forgive and release. But it's not fair. But they're wrong. Come on, isn't that the issue? Most of the time. They're wrong. Forgive. Forgive. By the way, don't be surprised sometimes if your miracle creates conflict. I wish I could tell you it wouldn't. But sometimes there was conflict created when Jesus did something supernatural. Some get critical of anything God does. Hold on to what Jesus has done for you and keep loving. Keep forgiving. Keep ministering. You know the old phrase. And I want to say this carefully because you can use these phrases like little bylines, but you have to understand the important caveats on them. The man with an argument is always at a loss to the man with an experience. However, that experience better be based on the Word of God. Amen? But once you've experienced him, according to his scriptures, and all founded on the Word of God, but once you've experienced him, the man who tries to argue out of him can't do it. You might not have every theological answer in the book. All you might be able to do is look at him and say, "But I know that I know that I've known. This Bible shares it, teaches it, and I've received him."
Amen.
And they can't argue you out of it. So, the Pharisees look through their eyes only and not through the eyes of God and what God can do. Church, let's us not limit God, but move to our miracles from a mat to a miracle. And God did it for that man, didn't he? Secondly, from a hillside to heaven's choir. From a hillside to heaven's choir. Turn to Luke chapter 2, if you would, please. From a hillside to heaven's choir. Luke chapter 2. Christmas, the season of miracles. Part 1. The other subtitle from this point could be How Shepherds Get Their Sight. How shepherds get their sight. Number 1, don't be afraid. From a hillside to heaven's choir, don't be afraid. Luke 2, verses 8 through 18. Now, by the way, I don't know how it happened. Must have been operator error. There's part of the verse that's missing, and I'll fill it in for you up here, okay? Luke 2, verses 8 and on. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9. Behold, an angel of... They were greatly afraid. That doesn't sound right. So it goes. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold," please read it with me, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Church, God's got more good news for you than you and I can handle. Come on, we need to lift our vision, lift our ears, lift our eyes. God's got more to give us than we're able to handle. Sometimes it's tangible, sometimes it's simply in peace and in the Spirit of the Lord. But He is a God who loves His people. Say with me, God loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Turn to each other and say, God's crazy about you too. Don't be afraid of the blessing and the presence of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 9 out of the Message. That's why we have this scripture text. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love Him. Number 2, God is with you now. Say the word with me, now. Say it again, now. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find, Present tense. You will find, actually a little future tense there, but you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. No matter what we're going through, church, no matter what you're experiencing, no matter what you're happening or what your happening is, God is here. Hebrews 13, verse 5 quotes, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Say that with me, please. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's here right now. Right here with you. Right now. Number three, those who are hungry for God say yes to whatever He says. How many are saying yes in this room?
Yes.
No matter what. Okay, Lord, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Say it with me. Yes. One more time. Yes. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, yes. They looked at each other full of excitement. They couldn't believe what they'd seen. They said, yes. Let us now. They didn't delay, did they? Oh, wait for another more convenient time. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. With what?
Haste.
With haste. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Let's just spend a couple of minutes. I want to give you a context. Why is this so important? Who are these shepherds? Why are they so open to God? You need to know, in this time in Israel, among the occupations, shepherding had just about the bottom rung of consideration. They were the outcasts. They weren't allowed in the city, and they were certainly not trusted by the general public, because most shepherds, in their perspectives, were thieves. Luke gives this story for a reason. Jesus would come not to the proud and to the powerful, but He comes to those who are needy. Anybody in this room?
Yes.
The outcast, the humble, those considered last on the social lists. To these men, God first brought the news about the arrival of His Son. Now, due to the closeness of Jerusalem where they are, some scholars have suggested that the flocks here are flocks that were raised for sacrifice in the temple. And that narrative challenges the values of many religious people who dissed and despised shepherds. Shepherds' work kept the shepherds from participation in the religious activities of their communities. Pasturing the flocks, by the way, at night probably means it was in a warmer season, not in the middle of snowy winter that we get on our Christmas cards. Because they would graze more in the day on those kinds of activities or in those seasons. But in Christ's day, shepherds stood on the bottom rung of the Palestinian social ladder. They shared, listen, just hang in there with me, they shared the unenviable status position of tax collectors and dung sweepers. I'd like to tell anybody you were a shepherd in that day. I don't think you'd have a business card saying dung collection and shepherding. Yeah. Only Luke mentions them. They were despised. They were second class. They were untrustworthy. They weren't socially acceptable. The Mishnah, Judaism's written record of the oral law, also reflects the prejudice, referring to shepherds in totally belittling terms. One passage describes them as being incompetent. Another, listen to this. Another passage in the Mishnah said no one, talk about not a nice attitude, no one should ever feel obligated to rescue a shepherd who has fallen into a pit. Shepherds were deprived of all their civil rights. They could not fulfill judicial offices. They couldn't be committed or admitted, rather, in court as witnesses, because shepherds were so untrustworthy. It was a written statement to buy wool, milk, or a kid from a shepherd was forbidden on the assumption that it would be stolen property. In the time of Jesus, the rabbis asked with amazement, now, is all ties in? The rabbis ask with amazement, in the despicable view towards shepherds, how can anybody explain why God was called my shepherd in Psalm 23, verse 1? Shepherds were literally and tangibly given the label sinners. And that label was a technical term for a class of despised people. When we understand that we are sinners, we are understanding that our sin is despicable and we are despised worthy of judgment. And that's why we come to a gracious God who forgives us. And if we still think we're hot stuff, it's pretty hard yet for God to come in and really redeem us. He who is forgiven of much can what? Love much. When you know how much you need to be forgiven of, you fall in love with Jesus, church, because he comes with armloads of mercy. Turn to each other and say, armloads of mercy.
Armloads.
God gives armloads of mercy. Even from his birth, Jesus was associated with the lowly. And now you, with perspective, can understand how deep it means, the meaning is, when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. There really is no better vivid perspective of his tender, loving care and guiding hands. Now, it's different because when David was a shepherd, it obviously passed down and went down through the generations. Although, remember in Egypt, Egypt didn't like shepherds, right? When Israel went there. But perhaps shepherds who cared for young lambs, who sat through cold, dark nights and caring for them, guarding and protecting the flock, might understand the shepherd heart of God the Father. He might know, they might know and be able to glimpse into God's spirit when he comes to the shepherds and says, hey, I got a brand new lamb that's going to deliver all these people from their sins. These social outcasts were met by God in an incredible way. They received a miracle. And why were they then hungry? Because they were needy and they knew it. Come on, church. They were needy and they knew it. So when the shepherds hear from God, they go, man, we never heard from God like this. Nobody even cares a bit for us. They think we're terrible. So God shows up. Let's go do what he's told us to do. Come on, let's go find Jesus. Their hearts were fixed. Did we talk about that last week? Their hearts were fixed. They didn't stay put. They didn't lazy around. But you remember, later in the stories here, when the wise men came, you don't find the Jewish prophets and the Pharisees and Sadducees who knew where he was to be born getting up and moving toward Bethlehem, do you? They send somebody there, but they don't go there themselves because they weren't hungry enough to see for themselves. And these guys were hungry. Church, it doesn't matter. Got a high position or low, if you're wealthy or poor. What matters is Jesus coming and showing you himself, receiving that message, that miracle of grace, and running to him, saying, yes, Lord, and moving. What do you want, Lord? How can I line up better? Lord, yes, I want you. The man on the mat and his friends got him to Jesus. The shepherds overcame social rejection, got past their fear, so they could run to see Jesus. They saw him. In this Christmas season of miracles, I urge every one of us, let's make movement. Let's move closer to him. Let's let him do what he wants in our heart. And let's let go of any bitternesses and resentments. And let's let the Lamb of God be birthed afresh in our lives and bring forth his presence. Let's get out of our comfort zone and move forward to see him in a fresh new way. Anybody in this room need a miracle from God?
Yes.
It's Christmas season. In fact, it was December 24, 1940, in New Mexico. Small family, young family. were living out in the country, and there were quite a number of family people there, but they wanted to do some last-minute Christmas shopping. And so some of the family members took the one and only car, and they made their way and drove toward El Paso, which was several miles away, to do some Christmas shopping. And all of a sudden, there was screaming as Ima Jean heard somebody yelling for help. And lo and behold, little 6-year-old Austin had fallen into the stock tank. Any farmers, ranchers know what we're talking about? How long he'd been in there, the writer doesn't know. When they found him and got to him, he was blue. He looked dead. And in fact, he had drowned. The mother pulls the drowned boy out, and they started rolling him over a log, which is what you did in those days. Anybody remember that or ever see that? They rolled him over a log, and water came out, but he was still dead. Finally, Imogene's husband ran down the driveway out to the highway to see, which was in front of their place, to see if any car was coming along. It's at night and not very much traffic, and he wanted to flag a car down. Can anybody help? Can anybody do a miracle? Finally, over the horizon, a car comes. And he's frantically waving his arms, and the car gets closer and closer, and finally stops right there in the middle of the road as the husband stood there to stop him. "You've got to help us!" The car stopped. The driver just happened to be Dr. George Schwartz, who was traveling from Hayward, California. He was a medical doctor. He rushed to the boy's side, knew exactly what had happened. The boy had swallowed his tongue. The doctor knew what to do, and in a very short time, believe it or not, the boy started breathing again and lived out a normal boyhood life. Saved by the only car that came by that night. Just happened to come at that instant. Jesus sees you right here. Right here this morning. And in some areas of your life, like in mine, possibly you're standing in the street saying, "Jesus, I need your miracle right now." The Lord knows who you are. And the Lord knows who to bring and what to bring at exactly the right time. First and foremost, He Himself came to minister to you and to me. In the depth of your heart this morning, I'm not asking you to shout out your need, but in the depth of your heart, can you say, "Lord, I believe you're right here to help me." Christmas is a season of miracles. It's time to receive the freshness of His presence in some of those areas of our lives. Areas that we thought were immovable. Areas that we thought there'd never be a change. Jesus is here to change. Stand with me, will you, church? Musicians, will you come? He sees, He knows who you are. And right how to minister to you this morning, today. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we give you our praise and our thanksgiving. And we believe that you're the God who sees. You're the God who knows. You're the God who comes by right in the nick of time. And you're the God who sees and knows what we need more than we do. Lord, together today, we are so thankful to be your people. And we pray that you will have freedom in our lives to do those fresh miracles. Lord, we believe you to change us even more today as we go out of this place with our lives transformed, our thinking transformed, our spirits more in alignment with you than ever before. Thank you, Jesus, for coming just in time for all of us. Thank you, Jesus, that you still come in time for each of us. We love and worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart and you want to take time at this front area, we can grab a chair, turn it around, and it becomes your altar area. If you want prayer, there'll be people here to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, there'll be a team of people here to pray for you for that as well. Most of all, know that God loves you so much, He wants to do something fresh for you today. Can you say amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. We believe you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name.